want us to give you some time to set up, or are you ready? Are you ready, DG? So basically, we are going to take the annual report, and then later on, we'll get a briefing on the convention, on the SKA. I'm sure colleagues remember that we did discuss this. The convention was supposed to be formally tabled so that we can then deal with it and then get Parliament to approve the convention establishing the SKA. So we'll get that today. Let's give you 5 minutes to set up, because now it looks like you are not ready. Shanaz, DG, are you guys fine there? No, you can be excused, team from AG. Okay. Thanks for coming. Okay. So DM, we've received an apology from the minister. That you'll be leading the delegation. So as a leader of the delegation, you're allowed to say a few words prior to the formal presentation or as part of the presentation. So over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also to the Portfolio Committee for this opportunity for us to be able to present the annual report. The report is quite extensive, and I think what we'll do is the DG will present the report. We'll try and focus on what we believe are key areas for the attention of the Portfolio Committee, but also with the understanding that the committee members had an opportunity to go through both the report and the presentation. And I think we will then depend on the committee through questions at the end in terms of areas which they would want us to zoom into. But that being said, I would like to ask the DG to start with the presentation of the report with your permission, Chairperson.
Yeah, no, I think let's allow the DG. Maybe let's give you until 12, latest quarter past 12. Yeah, it's... It was allocated 30 minutes, but we can give you an hour, and then the first quarter expenditure report, we can see when you present it. It's not really that urgent for now, but it will be up to you. We're giving you until quarter past 12 to present. Did you?
Thanks very much, Chairperson. We've got quite a large number of slides, and we will be guided by the Chairperson. We could skip some of them because we have shared some of the information with the Portfolio Committee, so we could skip through them very, very quickly so that, as the Deputy Minister has indicated, we can keep to the key storyline that I would like to share with the committee. And then I will be guided by the chair and the committee on the first quarter report, whether you'd like us to do it immediately, which will take about 15 minutes over and above the 35-minute presentation on the annual report, or whether you'd like to take the questions first and then come back, but to seek guidance from the chair.
Okay. So how long do you think it will take for the annual report?
I think about 35.
Okay. So we can give you up to 40, 45.
To do
and then
quick.
The first quarter, we can take 15 minutes for that.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. Okay. So what we'd like to do, again, is to express our sincere thanks to the committee to have the opportunity to share with you what we have achieved in the year with the resources that you've signed off on the vote. So I will quickly go through the presentation with the purpose, the vision and the mission. Again, we will just have those to reiterate and the alignment to the national priorities. But the focus will be on the overall performance. And I will ask the Chief Financial Officer, Preeti Makhukule, to speak about the financial performance with your permission, Chair. It's on the PDF file. So if we just remind the members, the vision, it's increased well-being and prosperity.
Maybe let's break for 5 minutes so you sort yourself out there. Okay. So let's break. There's PDF, there's PowerPoint. So let's sort that one out and then we'll be back at... What time is it now? 25 past.
I'm Hello, Tata. How are you, my brother? I'm well. I thought you were not coming. I thought you were organizing a picket. We have organized the Hands of Moose match. I made them yell, man. It's a contest.
Balo.
Okay.
I bo.
Oh, no, I look on to you, but I am reading. Yeah.
Are you ready now, DG?
Honorable Chair, yes, we are.
Okay, let's take our seats, honorable members. Let's sit down and listen to the DG giving us a report on the annual performance of the department.
Again, thanks, Chen. Apologies for time wasted. So, as I was saying, just to go through the mission, increase well-being and prosperity through science, technology and innovation, and the mission where we would like to provide leadership and enabling environment and resources for the science, technology and innovation in support of South Africa's development. We are aligned to the national priorities as articulated in outcomes 2, 4 and 5, as well as 6, 7 and 10. So in the first overall summary of the audit findings, we just indicate to the Portfolio Committee the progress that we've been making in terms of the financial findings, the human resource findings, and the performance information, and the fact that we have from the Auditor General's report picked up quite a large set of findings in the information technology section, which is about 11 of the 14 findings. I will come back to that later on in terms of what we are doing to address some of the findings. So I think this slide is a summary of that that says that in the finance and performance information, we have reduced quite considerably the previous findings. as well as on the finance, but on the IT, the Auditor General has picked up a number of findings. The overall performance is captured in this slide that shows that in total, out of the performance, we made sure that 89% of the targets that were set were achieved, and only 11% in terms of the numbers. 42 targets were achieved and 5 of these were not achieved, and later at the end we'll explain the reasons for the 5 unachieved targets. In the next slide, we just would like to reiterate the strategic oriented outcomes goals that I think we have in the current strategic plan. There are 5. The first one is a responsive, coordinated, and efficient national system of innovation, and we have shared with the committee what we're trying to do here. And then the next one is increased knowledge generation, and we'll go through the details of where we are, and using knowledge for economic development, human capital, and using knowledge for inclusive development. So we'll then go through each of these strategic outcome-oriented goals and give highlights of the achievements in each one of them. In the first one of the responsive, coordinated, and efficient NSI, the committee would remember that Cabinet approved the 2019 White Paper on Science, Technology, and Innovation. And just again to recap, the intentions of the White Paper is to have a deliberate focus on inclusion, such as having civil society being part of the discourse and how they would benefit from science, technology, and innovation, as well as to have industry closely involved with our planning activities. We've also proposed that we elevate science, technology, and innovation consultation to the highest level, where the president or the presidency would host once a year a summit to discuss and to plan for science, technology, and innovation activities. We'd also like to enhance the utilization of publicly funded research and development and support for grassroots innovation to transform ownership of the economy, and we'll give some highlights of that. And then institutionalized prioritization to support strategic research. When we come and share with the portfolio committee the areas that we have chosen, you will see that we recognize that research can be done on any area, but maybe we do as a country need to support certain areas. And then we've also been proposing the budget coordination of all public institutions in order to make sure that there is efficiency and harmonization of these funding instruments. And then, of course, we'd like to continue to target internationalization efforts to support our innovation and commercialization agenda. We'd also remind the committee that the idea of the White Paper was to ensure whole-of-government approach to innovation through an innovation compact that would be agreed and signed at the summit to drive coherence and coordination, and we hope that next year such a summit will be held. We're just working on the preparations. Elevate STI planning into the highest levels of government. We'd also think that we need to work fairly closely with provinces and local government to look at how innovation could can enhance provincial growth and development strategies and local economic development. We'd like to expand and transform the research system, expand and transform human capabilities, and then, of course, work towards getting more resources for expanding at scale and impact the activities that we'd like to do, and then on an ongoing basis have a monitoring and evaluation and what we are learning from the policies that we are implementing. On the strategic outcome-oriented goal 2, we would like to increase knowledge generation. As the portfolio committee knows, we do this through the provision of grants to researchers. So 4,633 research grants 40% went to black researchers and 39% went to women. And if we go further and look at the publications, you will see that a total of over 9,000 peer-reviewed research articles were published by researchers in the system. And in the Toyson Reuters Web of Science Citation Database, you will see that we are seeing an increase in the number of publications as well as an increase in the quality, which is measured by the citation index. And as you can see then in the middle slide, this shows significantly that our impact of the publications is higher than the average of 0.97 at 1.31. We also provide research infrastructure grants, and for this year, a total of 703 million rands were given to universities, science councils, museums, and national facilities, and other public research performing entities that are classified as those that are supposed to get public finances. And then, of course, the investment includes a program of a well-designed roadmap for the infrastructure in South Africa, which has been signed off, so we know which research infrastructure is needed, where, and by whom. We've also funded and continue to support the broadband capacity that is provided by the South African National Research Infrastructure Network, SANREN as it is called, together with TENET. And the slide 18 just shows how the universities are connected for broadband infrastructure within South Africa. And you can see almost all the universities now have access to broadband. But we also show on the right-hand side the connection of cables that go to the rest of the world, and on the left-hand side, the cables that connect the institutions with the rest of the world on the West Coast side. These are just pictures and examples of research infrastructure and what we have used it for. So on climate change, providing research and the contribution that we contribute to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and it's useful for weather forecasting, forecasting with the weather service. Of course, the DISH, SKA DISH, and the work that astronomers are doing, and the high energy physicists on Tier 2 CERN site, the battery manufacturing, as well as drug discovery, animation industry, supporting small, medium enterprises and SOEs and large companies, as well as a number of other initiatives on the right-hand side, just to give you an impression of the infrastructure that we finance and what it does. And the next is, again, the finalization of the 64 DISH array, which I think we have briefed the committee in detail, including the picture that was taken by this telescope, which we explained, I think, again in detail. And I remember the chair wanting to get more clarity as to what the picture meant that was taken during the launch. What I think we did not share with the committee is this Meerlicht optical telescope. And this is an optical telescope which is in Sutherland. But the purpose of this telescope, in partnership with the Netherlands United Kingdom, is to have the telescope looking at the same sky that the Meerkat telescope is looking at. Because the scientists have told us that when you see, and I'm sure the committee would remember, that in the radio astronomy wavelength, what you see there is not what you can see with the naked eye. So the events that you will pick up in the radio astronomy activities sometimes are accompanied by things that can be picked up by an optical telescope. So they shine or they point the two telescopes together so that the events that you can't see with the naked eye can be picked up with this Meerlicht telescope. So we're still waiting for, it's been now finalized, it's in Sutherland, and then we are looking for the results of this work. So this was also a telescope that we provided to scientists. We've also working with Northwest University build a dome for a telescope at the University of Northwest in Mahikeng, the Astronomical Observatory. It houses a 16-inch optical telescope, and this is used for research by students as well as an outreach to local schools and the community to excite them about a radio telescope. We also, I'm sure we've shared this with the portfolio committee, that we have seen the launch of another second satellite, the ZA-CUBE-2 from CPUT, which was launched on the 27th of December as part of the constellation of satellites that we are using to monitor what's happening in our oceans. On the human capital development, we would like to report that we have supported a total of 13,154 students, and they are broken down in this slide. 4,572 of the 13 are honor students, 5,200 masters, and 3,380 doctoral students. What we have done as per the request of the committee is we've tried to break down the demographics and the gender of the students, that about 80% are supposed to be black and 55% of these students are supposed to be women students. And the next set of slides are just breaking this down further and show the trends of how we are getting towards this target over the period of time. This is a slide that just shows the breakdown of honors, masters, and doctoral students over the last 3 years. And again, you can see that at honors level, we're sitting around 4.5 to 5,000 students, masters around 5,000, doctoral about 3,000 students. So the trend doesn't shift significantly. And then we now go to the next slide where we do a breakdown of trying to achieve the 80% of the black students at honors, masters, and doctoral levels. So I apologize if this slide was not very, very clear, but this is just to say over the last 3 years at honors, masters, and doctoral level, how far are we towards reaching the 80%? And you can see at honors level, we have exceeded 80%. At the master's level, we're sitting at 79.3, so we are almost there. And then for doctoral students, we're still 5% less than the 80% target. And then if we go to the next slide, this is the slide that shows the breakdown. And just to recall, we are targeting 55% for women-funded students. So at honors level, we are at 59, so we are above 55. At master's level, we're 57.7, and then at doctoral, again, 51. So both at doctoral for black and as well as for women, we still haven't at PhD level got the target that we attained. So we're working closely with the NRF to see whether we can get closer to that. And then in terms of the number of interns that we support, almost just over 1,000 graduates and students were placed as interns in science and technology institutions. This program is monitored and in support supported by the NRF. And then we've also been tracking this program as to whether the students that are in the internship, what happens to them. So we find that a lot of them go back and perform their postgraduate studies and some are absorbed in the job market. So we think it's a very good program of preparing students for either research careers or for the job employment. And then we've reached out just under 30 million participants through the science awareness and engagement programs through directly as ourselves, but also in partnership with the 40 science centers that we have all over the country. So if we move it to using knowledge for economic development, slide number 21, we're happy to report that we have technology stations, and we have dispersed almost 100 million that was dispersed to these technology stations. They are hosted by the technology innovation agencies, and a total of 3,000 SMMEs have received technology support, and out of those SMMEs, 74% are previously disadvantage-owned SMMEs, and a total of 33 knowledge and innovation products broken down into 24 prototypes, 6 technology demonstrators, and 5 technology transfer packages have been provided to these small medium enterprises. The most interesting things is that is that 51 of these small enterprises have secured business contracts, which we believe that will help in the retention and the creation of jobs. And 55 people living with disabilities were beneficiaries of the technology support from these small medium enterprises. And a total of 1,380 young people have received support from these stations, and 124 students were afforded the opportunity to work on industry projects at the stations. And 62.3 million additional income into the stations have been recognized. So we use this as a measure of looking at the efficiency of the program. We also provide support for ensuring that the SMMEs are provided with expertise for localizing some of the technologies. We provide firm-level technology assistance packages into these small-medium enterprises. And just as an example, Kibela Rail provided a co-funding of $5 million to develop a total of 14 companies as part of the tech localization program. And currently, there are over 7,000 of these companies that are provided, profiled or registered in the TLIU, which helps them to get business opportunities that they can get from especially the state-owned enterprises. We've also provided through the Sector Innovation Fund, one of the instruments that we have, a portfolio of support to industries in the horticulture, post-harvest innovation, viticulture, forestry, paper manufacturing, and agro-processing. And we've also provided support in order to support the wheat bidding program through the Agriculture Bioeconomy Innovation Partnership Program. And we have shared this in detail with the committee on how we are trying to make sure that we have a wheat breeding and a maize breeding program that have the capability of surviving in the harsh, drier climate conditions that we have. Which is piloted here at Stellenbosch. So the program has also supported the multi-African states foot and mouth disease rapid response program, and then it focuses on livestock disease management through the development of diagnostic and technologies to support and inform policies that will assist in the managing of these diseases such as the foot and mouth. And during the reporting period, 15 community-based initiatives were supported through the construction and equipping of pilot pre-processing facilities in agribusiness, and then the innovation hub in Johannesburg in Pretoria has incubated 14 small-medium enterprises, supporting business development and entrepreneurship. We're also happy to report on the program that we have supported in the development of protein and enzyme reagent process and products for commercialization through REAGE and MAX initiative. The purpose of the initiative is to develop and commercialize market-ready technologies for the recombinant production of protein and enzyme reagents in response to market needs. And then as a result, the Cape Bio startup has been registered as level one PPPE company and has already raised an initial startup funding and incubation support from the Allen Gray Orbis Foundation. So this is a good sense that our startups are being supported by outside bodies. We've also been active in the renewable energy space, and we did share, with the Portfolio Committee, the program that we are having on adding or using our manganese and other mineral resources to produce components that are needed in the electric energy storage. And the DST and its partners are working on preparing the products that will be supported in the energy storage. And in particular, we're happy to report on a multilateral agreement between Germany and South Africa that is putting in place a low-cost nickel iron battery as part of the storage that is needed when you use solar in times when energy or sun is not available. And then we've also, in partnership with the post office, provided range extenders for the scooters. We were supposed to launch this tomorrow, but there's been a request to come up with another date. And we've also, in April 2018, installed a 2.5 kilowatt fuel cell at Poelano Secondary School near Ventersdorp. And the unit is installed together with solar panels and energy storage device, so it's providing needed energy for ICT-related activities in the school in this rural setting. We've also, out of the energy work that we're supporting in Stellenbosch, developed this solar turtle energy kiosk, which provides, I think, energy, renewable energy in the rural parts of South Africa. And 10 of these solar turtle energy kiosks that are supported with this locally developed technologies from this spin-out company is now being rolled out in Lesotho to support rural women in their business initiatives. We've also been supporting the new mode of production in the manufacturing sector, which is called AeroSwift Industrialization Program, which is a program at the CSIR looking at using powder and lasers in order to have products that are manufacturing to scale. And we have a number of some of these components that have already been completed, and I'm told that some of them are already in the aircrafts that have shown interest in testing some of these components. We also use knowledge to support municipalities, and in this case we'd like to remind the committee that we have upscaled the Municipal Innovation Maturity Index, which has resulted in an increase in the number of municipalities that raise their hands and say they are ready to introduce innovation for service delivery. The tool was developed in response to the general lack of appropriate instruments of understanding and evaluating the innovation capacities in the municipalities. We've also been mapping the Karoo innovation landscape in support of regional economic strategy, and we have deployed innovation champions as part of this program, which is having young graduates in Vembe District that have an capacity, or they will be the ones introducing some of these innovative service delivery innovations in municipalities. And we've also been working with the Department of Basic Education and in the Kofimvaba area, piloting and integrating the use of ICT schools and developing a maturity index to assess the readiness for the deployment and adoption of ICTs in schools. We've also been piloting an alternative school nutrition model in Kofimvaba, and also demonstrating alternative or innovative sanitation technologies that could then assist in making sure that the schools have proper sanitation technologies. In the health innovation space, we are happy to report that with the Medical Research Council, in this Strategic Health Innovation Partnership Program, it is called, we funded phase 3 clinical trials to assess the efficacy of levofloxacin preventative therapy in children that have been exposed to multi-drug resistant tuberculosis. And the study resulted in the development of a pediatric levofloxacin 100 milligram dispensable formulation, which has been pre-qualified by the World Health Organization, and we're very, very happy about this initiative. It's a drug that is being used for treating children who are multi-drug resistant to tuberculosis. If you've been taking certain drugs, after some time you find that you don't respond to those drugs, and therefore in order to get your immune to be responsive to drugs, we've developed this new drug. Okay. We've also, I think, in the TB and malaria drug discovery program at the UCT, have secured approximately $46 million over the next 3 years from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and we are extremely grateful because this will focus on the further development of the malaria drug candidate and chemical series for TB that are at various stages of development. So hopefully we can assist in the malaria and TB work that we are doing. And then a third example in the health area is this device, the AmbiFlow device, that was developed in South Africa to screen and manage pregnant women in order to assess the growth of the fetus so that you can have an early detection in instances where you can avoid premature birth. So it is estimated that about 20,000 premature births are recorded in South Africa. And using this device, we hope that it would significantly reduce these premature deaths. And what is exciting about this project is that the World Health Organization has also committed an amount of $218 US to expand these studies in other developing countries, including India, Kenya, Ghana, as well as Rwanda. On the grassroots innovation program, which we have shared with yourself, it's aimed at providing technical and financial support to social entrepreneurs and local innovators in township and rural areas who are developing solutions. And during 18-19 financial year, 100 qualifying local innovators were enrolled in the program, and the initiative has no gender boundaries. And I'm happy to ask Nontlantla perhaps to give more detail on this at a later stage. On the international cooperation and resources, later today the committee will be receiving the details on the ratifying of the convention that was signed in Rome as part of setting up a new intergovernmental organization that is going to manage the square kilometer array. And on the science diplomacy and the promotion of South Africa as a preferred destination, the Department of International Relations with us hosted a workshop on diplomacy, leadership, and negotiation. And this has provided a platform for the DSI to create a uniquely branded South African STI diplomacy. And then we also hosted the Science Forum, which attracted over 3,000 participants from 79 countries. Our overseas bilateral portfolio continues to be supportive of our knowledge generation capacity and absorption of students, and we're happy to report that we've had during the year afforded our South African researchers opportunities to collaborate with almost 718 international partner organizations, and 20% of those are private sector organizations. And we have seen an investment of more than 3.3 billion by DST International Partners supporting the work that we do. And the human capital development through this partnership have seen a total of 470 South African students participating in international postgraduate training programs abroad. So it's a very vibrant program, Chair. We've also worked to ensure that we work closely with the work to facilitate international investment. On the, if you like, the NGOs, we have received a total of 517 million that has been funded in the National System of Innovation for the year. And we've also been able to have 91 million of these partners build and strengthen our capacity in partnership with through trilateral arrangements with partners in the continent. We've had 93 research and innovation projects jointly supported by ourselves in the rest of the continent, and there are 17 African Union and SADC community initiatives that we support, including the SADC Engineering Needs and Numbers Initiative that is looking at assessing how many engineers we need and the ones we have in the SADC initiative. And then a program to enhance the participation of women in science activities in SADC. And then, of course, we are finalizing hosting the Pan-African University for Space Science for the rest of the continent here in South Africa. We also last year in Durban hosted the SADC Ministers of Education and Training, Science, Technology and Innovation. We were chairing SADC at that meeting. And then as part of that, we also produced the first SADC regional report on investment in research and development, because ministers said they have no sense of what is the profile of investments in the continent. And then we also continue to be one of the co-chair, we are one of the four co-chairs of the intergovernmental organization called the Group on Earth Observation that is looking at harnessing Earth observation activities for the benefit of the mankind. And we also support a Pan-African program to organize ourselves using Earth observation activities in the continent. So with your permission, Chair, the rest of the slide is just a program overview where we would like to report that Program 1 achieved 100% of its target, so this is the corporate services, and Program 2, the technology innovation, 100% of its targets, 3, 100%, Program 4, 80%, and Program 5, 75%, and as we said, we'll be able to explain the few that were not achieved, so this is captured, I think, in this slide graphically, so you can have a pictorial view of the achievements that were then achieved by the various programs. So just maybe some highlights of what was achieved in much more detail now. In Program 1, we achieved ensuring that the entities, the public entities' annual performance and reports are approved on time. And we've continued to make sure that we have a very robust way in the audit space to ensure that we have a combined assurance of risk, audit, and management to track audit findings and to avoid audit queries by ensuring that we have adequate internal support. We have 180 media articles that were written to achieve the profile of what we do out of 24. We were involved in 17 public participation programs, and we hope that in the discussions with the AG, they have confirmed that we got an unqualified or a clean audit. In Program 2, out of 21 instruments that we funded 21. On knowledge products, which are patents, prototypes, and improving products and services, 187. And policy directives, in other words, work which we do in order to use science to inform decision making, we're able to get 5 of these. On decision support, 2 were achieved. On the regulatory recommendations that are usually made to support the GMO Executive Council through the partnership with DAF, where we had 100% of these recommendations, and then we had over 300 new disclosures that were reported by publicly funded institutions. In terms of the postgraduate students, again, you can see we met the targets 354, 336, and on the knowledge application products, again, we got 9. And the commercial, instead of 3, we got 7. On the international cooperation, as I've indicated, 517 million in international funds were invested in our work, and over 3.3 billion were invested by international partners into our activities in the science and technology innovation arena. 1,470 South African students that had participated in programs abroad, and 718 international partner organizations that have collaborated with us. And we've had 36 international technical exchanges between bilateral partners, and 93 research and innovation human capital cooperation activities with partners in the rest of the continent. 91 million funds, as I've indicated, in trilateral arrangements with our partners in the continent, and 17 AU or SADC initiatives have been supported. And there have been 6 formally recorded decisions made in intergovernmental STI forums, which we have been heavily involved and provided leadership on. And we are grateful that there are 5 leadership positions that are occupied by South Africans in international science and technology governance structures as part of influencing the discourse internationally. In the program research development support, as we've indicated, over 3,000 PhD students, 802 graduates and students placed in internship programs, 35 research infrastructure grants awarded, and as we have indicated, the available broadband in the SANRAN network, over 3,557 gigabits per second. Over 4,000 research awarded grants, 9,000 research articles published, as we indicated. On the SKA, the receivers have been installed in the 64 dish array, and then we indicated that under 30 million participants have been reached through science awareness programs. And then on the last program, program 5, 8 knowledge products and for innovation for inclusive developments were published, 10 decision support systems, 5 knowledge and innovation products have been added to the portfolio, 249 master's and doctoral students have been fully funded in those specific areas, and at least 42 industrially relevant knowledge and innovation products through the CIFs and the SMME support that I mentioned, and 9 instruments have been funded in support of increased localization, as we highlighted earlier on. And lastly, 11 innovation support interventions have been funded or co-funded to support provincial as well as rural innovation systems. I promised, Chair, that I will talk about targets that were not achieved. We've tried to classify the reasons for why sometimes these are not achieved. It's either process delays or ineffectiveness of implementers that we work with, or target formulation. Sometimes we find that we are not clear, and sometimes we then rework the target formulation. So on the ones of the pipeline postgraduate students, we were to get 10,000 and we achieved as you can see, 9,774. And as you can see, this was a stretched target in an environment where the budget was not growing enough to keep up with the number of students. So we could say the reason was that having picked up that the budget was reduced, then we should have revised the target. On the second one, it was a process delay of finalizing the biennial report on the state of climate change, and this was as a result of the elections and having a short cabinet process that didn't allow us to table this to cabinet. And then on the honors master's students, it was an issue that there was no call for proposal due to the contract coming to an end for the waste roadmap, and we were worried that if we funded those students, we wouldn't be able to have a carry through of funding those students, and until we finalize the new contract, therefore, should have again, in terms of process, been a bit more clear when we formulated the targets about this problem. Then the statistical report that we were supposed to have finalized, this was delayed. It's again a process issue and a capacity issue of people who then have to evaluate these R&D proposals. If one person resigns, they are given a batch of these to evaluate. And then on the pre-approval, four applications remained at 31 March, so we've tried to push as much as we can. Again, it's a capacity issue. So may I then ask the CFO in the next 5 minutes, Chair, to just quickly take us through the finances. She has agreed to come to the front, and I'll move to the left.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Honourable Chair, and good afternoon, Honourable Members. As the DG has mentioned, I am presenting the financial performance of the Department for the year under review. The Department had a budget of 7.96 billion rand in the reporting period, and we had spent 99.2% of that budget. And the variance of 0.8% translates to a monetary value of about 66.5 million rand. That is the money that was subsequently surrendered to the National Revenue Fund. This slide shows the budget and expenditure for the period per economic classification. As members will be aware that we've got five main categories of economic classification, and also members, I'm sure by now they're aware that the department transfers 92% of its budget to the implementing entities, and the remaining 8% of the budget goes to salaries and goods and services. So the slide just shows the performance in terms of the budget and expenditure per category. And we can see from the slide that the material variance from the 66 million rand that was surrendered actually emanated from the goods and services. A reason for the material variances was that there were some funds that were set aside for building-related activities that were supposed to be undertaken by the Department of Public Works. So there were some delays, and as a result, those funds could not be spent as planned. And we also realized some savings under compensation of employee. If we could look at the first bar, about 22 million that was also surrendered due to some resignation, and the process of filling the post were not finalized by the end of the financial year. And this slide also shows the analysis per program, as the department has got five main programs. And also, if we look at this slide, there is a correlation between this and the previous slide where the analysis was done per economic classification. Here we see program one as the only program with material variance, Reason being, this program carries about 70% of our goods and services budget, that meant for administration. So if you compare the previous slides and these slides, you see the correlation, whereby the previous slide suggests that goods and services was the category that had material variance. We have previously mentioned, Chair, when we presented the APP, that from the five programs, three programs carries over 90% of the department's budget, and these are the core programs. So we thought it would be also useful when we unpack the performance, we also zoom into these three programs, which is Program 2, Program 4, and Program 5. So this is where most of the funds went. Program 2 also transferred the parliamentary grant to our two entities, as mentioned on the last column of the table, which transferred over 500 million to both entities, which is SANSA and Technology Innovation Agencies. The programs also support the space science initiatives, hydrogen and energy, bio and innovation, etc., as it is indicated on the slide. And also we have program four, which is research, development, and support. This program also supports two entities, two entities, which is the National Research Foundation and also the Academy of Science of South Africa. And we had transferred over 900 million rand as parliamentary grant just for these two entities for their operation. This program also supports the human resource development. We also support the work around the astronomy area, which includes the SKA. And it's actually indicated on the slide as to how much was actually transferred for under each sector. Also, it indicates in his presentation, DG spoke around the performance that we achieved around the infrastructure, and it is supported through this program. We have transferred just over 1 billion rand to support the basic science and the research infrastructure. We also have Program 5, also overseeing the performance of two public entities, which is the CSIR and the Human Science Research Council. The program also transferred some parliamentary grants, approximately 1.3 billion rand, most of it going to the CSIR. And the program also supports various initiatives as indicated on the slide. And also, Chair, here we're just indicating that over and above the voted funds of about 9.76 billion that we've indicated in the first slide, we also managed to secure some donor funding from international partners, and these are managed through a national treasury process. So in the year under review, we have they allocate the money as per the request from the department. So we've requested about 45 million rand, and we have spent as planned. And those the slide actually shows different donors and the money allocated for different projects, and also the program responsible to oversee the implementation of those projects within the department. And this is just to show the spend on our procurement. As I said initially, that the department retains about 80% of its budget, and from about 8% of its budget, and half of it goes to personnel, and half of it goes to goods and services for admin and operational costs. But from goods and services, that is where procurement normally happens. But there are some services that do not go through the procurement process, such as the audit fees that we pay to the Auditor General. It doesn't go through the procurement process, yet it gets paid under goods and services. So when we exclude those, the money that goes to GCIS for our advertising, the money that goes to DERCO for our science representative. So in order to show a true picture of our procurement spend and the performance in terms of empowering the designated groups, so we saw it deemed fit that we remove those that are not part of the procurement processes. And from the 215 million rand that we initially reported, I think it was in the second or third slide, as expenditure under goods and services, when we subtract 109, which comprises of those elements that I've mentioned that are not part of the procurement process, we left with about 106 million rand. And in that, we tried to categorize as to how did we perform in terms of SMME support, the 30% target that we expected to reach, to set aside at least 30% of our spending to SMMEs. And there the slide shows that from the funds that were subjected to procurement processes, 39% of those we have procured from SMMEs and 46% from black-owned companies, meaning companies where the ownership by black people is more than 51%. And also 23% was procured from women-owned companies. So when you aggregate, these percentages will never aggregate to 100 because you sometimes find an SMME also meets the other criteria in other categories. We still do a manual reporting, which is a bit difficult, but we committed that from this second quarter and going forward, we'll also enhance our reporting, and we'll also report on expenditure or procurement that was procured from youth-owned companies. And this is just our performance in terms of paying suppliers on time. This is actually also related to the SMME empowerment. We all aware of the implication if we fail to pay our suppliers on time. So this slide, Chair, is evidence that in the consecutive past three years, we were able to pay all our suppliers on time, except in 16-17, it was just 1 month where we had challenges. But also, I know we're not reporting on 19-20 here, but I am also pleased to mention that even this financial year thus far, we have managed to pay all our suppliers on time. And this one is just to show how we perform on average on monthly basis, to say we have been consistent and we have been paying suppliers between 7 to 11 days on monthly basis, and on average, on annual basis, we have paid our suppliers within 9 days. Yes, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG and CFO. You know, I was so frustrated when the financial information was being presented, and I had to go into this big document, the annual report. Now, on the annual report, the financial information is on page 162. Well, it starts from with the report of the Auditor General, but the actual financials is from 162 up to 253. And then from there is the financial statements. So there is a bulk of information which is there, which has not been reported to here on this thing. There's been a very high level summary of it. I don't even want to call it a summary. You'll recall in our first engagement, I complained about the financial information not being presented in its entirety. And again, this is what we are getting. You see, assets, liabilities, and all of those things, nothing reflected in here. There's bulk of information which is reporting about program by program expenditure there. So it just kept me so frustrated here. I wanted to stop you, CFO, but I just felt that maybe let the meeting close. But basically there's nothing there. There's nothing that you gave us about the financial information of the department. So I thought I must just record my frustration because I was so frustrated. When we get presented with the financial information, it must be as reported in the annual report. You can do a summary, program by program, but give us all the financial information that is there. So, I don't know whether we get a first quarter performance report or what do we do now.
Well, we obviously in your hands, Chairperson, but I think we would take questions on this and then dispense of it. The annual report and all of that. Then we can get into the first quarter report.
Okay. All right, let's see if we will still have enough time to discuss the first quarter report. But I hope that members were taking making notes, and they are ready to take questions. So maybe let's open up for questions on the annual report. I don't know what you are going to do with the financial one, DG, because you would recall that when we engaged the first time, we did raise this issue. Please summarize the report, which is on your annual report, and give us the information. I mean, there should be a way of presenting the financial information to members of parliament in a summarized form, which will not detract from what you are reporting in your annual report, which will give us the sense and the information which is here. So I don't have to go to a big document when I'm sitting here, when you are supposed to be summarizing that program by program. So I must say that I was really disappointed about this. And I hope that going forward, they will be treated with some level of respect, you know, in terms of presentation of information. Are we ready to engage members? Okay, Honorable Boshoff. Okay, let's start with Honorable Boshoff.
Sir, thank you. There are many things in the report one could respond to, but I would just start by congratulating you with all the aims being achieved. I just want to know on a certain thing. I mean, if we have an aim of having so many students and we exceed that aim, then it is unqualified a good achievement. But if we are looking at reaching the fractions of the demography, then it means if we go beyond, let's say, 80% black or 50% women, that we are actually unbalanced once again just to the other side. I just want to ask, do you concur with that statement, or is there any programs or whatever to rebalance it, or do you just think it's good to exceed the aims, saying that it is very successful? And I would just like to know, what are the mechanisms used by the NRF to achieve those targets regarding demography? Thank you, sir.
Okay. Honorable Sibiya.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. It has been said which there is improvement, the innovation of innovation capacity of municipalities, local and districts. But also was said the municipalities must raise their hands. I'm not clear how to cut. Yeah,
okay. We've got those two questions for now. Honorable Gietze.
Thanks, Chair. I thought you did not see us. It's not going to be long, rather, and not necessarily a question, but a comment, right? So, well, we understand some of the missions of the department, and Chair, this takes me back to the conclusion or this general. We have even normalized it. I mean, the funding that the department gets. I mean, they complain a lot that the funding we get from government is quite minimal. It's not enough, and I think that emanates from what kind of programs that we are doing in the department. I mean, if we are going to sit here and speak about the achieved programs in as far as the science and technology or science and innovation is concerned, and we start speaking about, you know, I know targets are there, right? I know we set our own targets, but I feel like we ought to be a little bit ambitious, right, as a department, particularly on that level of a national government, because if we are going to even start reporting about, you know, how we have held a public participation program, and that on its own is an achievement, and, you know, fine, it might be set, you might set your own targets, right, and we do not have a problem with that. But my point is that I feel like there must be some sort of, you know, ambitious element within the department. It cannot just, I mean, today we're celebrating Rwanda. They just launched their own Mara, a cell phone, a Mara smartphone made in Africa. Fine, they might have, you know, people whom they are working with from outside the continent, but that is essentially their own product, the government product, and it will, at a later stage, contribute positively towards their economy. So I'm just trying to locate some of the important innovations that the department is embarking on, like the same with scooters, the three scooters, as a demonstration, right? So it means at a later stage we'll resolve the backlog of, you know, post office, the letters getting and the parcels getting to their receivers on time. I mean, that's what I really need to understand, that if we really need budget, if we really always complaining about how budget is so small, why are we not being ambitious in as far as the innovation is concerned? I'll stop there. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Dodade.
Thank you so much, Chair. Good afternoon to everybody. I just have one comment and one question. First of all, I just would like to say that this report is probably one of the best well-put-together reports I've seen thus far in comparison to other departments. As much as it might be a summarized version, but I think it gives quite a picture of what is going on within the department. So I just want to make that comment of commending the department on the work that has been done and the programs that have been achieved. The question that I want to ask is, in terms of program 4 and 5, I saw there in terms of the targets that they are not fully met. I just wanted to check, are those targets in any way linked to their budget that the department gets to meet those particular targets? In particular, you know, where you talk about honors, masters, and doctoral students, is it a challenge of funding, or are there other things that are hindering you to meet those particular targets? And I think I'll probably take it from there when I get the response. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Mananis.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation as well. I think one must comment that, you know, limitation of specifics in the report limits us as public's representative to engage more. So I would want to suggest that as you give us the outcomes of whatever that you have achieved, like 100% qualifying local innovators, just indicate in terms of the areas that those particular people are coming from. Because sometimes I would go and address a meeting in my constituency and I would come with these numbers and I can't be specific to say at least in our area we've got one person who could have benefited. So please, when you beef up your report and when you enhance your report, include those specifics as well as with regards to the CFO when she was presenting on page 52. She indicated that you're looking on ways of enhancing the report on your on supply chain procurement issues. So I would want to as well add that you need to, besides including only youth, issues of people with disabilities as well must be included as part and parcel of the forthcoming report with regards to who could have benefited that is disabled. However, with what I saw on page 53, Chairperson, noting your comment that it's as if we are having something than what we saw on the big document. On the average payment days of invoices, I think it's job well done because at times people will complain and you won't get the report if really these people are being paid or not. So you're doing well as a department, however improve.
Okay. All right, DG, those are the questions, and DM, if you want to talk to any of them.
No, thanks very much. So let's start with Honorable Boshoff. In terms of the rebalancing of the targets that are met, I think the targets at the time that they were set, as you know, were trying to address a particular problem. And I think the minister and the NRF on an ongoing basis do engage on whether if these targets have been met in terms of addressing the imbalances of the past, should we either remove them or are they beginning to disadvantage others? So I think there is a process of a minister engaging with the NRF board on have we met these or we haven't. So I think it's the answer is ongoing monitoring, and in instances like I think I saw one of them where we're getting beyond 80%. So I think it's time now to say in the honor, I think it was in the honors category and the master's category, is the PhD where we are battling to get. So you then start to move the guidelines then to those that have not been met so that you don't disadvantage the others. With your permission, Chair, I'm going to ask Ms. Nhlanhla Mkhize to talk and respond to Honorable Sibiya's question on the municipalities and the innovation index. And then on Honorable Gietz's point, I think when we embarked on a process of reviewing what we have done in the last couple of years, Honorable Gietz, so that was the whole idea, to say what are the things that in the last 7 years or so require that we upscale for impact and scale. So what you will see when we come and present to yourselves on the decadal plan you will see, not at the level of just formulating targets, but at the level of ambition to take things to the next level, what exactly we'll be doing. For an example, we look at the initiatives that we are doing in the manufacturing sector as a whole as the system of innovation. And we say, what are the things that we can pull together in order to move a GDP contribution in manufacturing into the next level by pulling together all what we have? So that level of ambition, I think it's already been in the thinking of the designing of our next strategic plan. In fact, when we come and present that next year, you'll be able to see, and maybe one of the things we may wish to do, Chair, is to indicate where we have been in the last 5 years and what the new ambition is in terms of the next 5 years, so we'll be able to do that. As well as issues of inclusivity and transformation, they are all codified in the white paper. But the second comment that I would make on that is that maybe when we share the APP and the strategic plan, the committee may wish to push us a little bit if perhaps we are not having the ambition that is expected, with a concomitant discussion around where and the right balance ought to be. And then, Honorable Nodata's question, on Program 4 and 5, in Program 4, the one reduction of the target is because of the funds. What had happened at the APP of last year, moving from the previous year, is that there was a reduction in the funding from human resource budget, and it was directed to infrastructure. So even though we brought the numbers down because of that budget, I think it's also a case of, as we have indicated, not being sensitive to the fact that there are a little bit of variation in the student numbers, which we have negotiated with the Auditor General, that we should be within 10% of the target that we had set. And they said they would accept that as a target having been met. But you are correct. One of the reasons is the budget, and the others were, as I say, just those small contractual issues for targeted human capital programs, for instance, in the water, which we indicated, because they are all counted in one in the Program 4. But if you break it down, you'll see that, as indicated in the water, if we think that for the next 3 years we will not have enough money when we are no longer going on with the contract, it doesn't make sense for you to fund those students, because halfway when you have stopped the contract, then you will not be able, if it's a multi-year honors or multi-year masters or a multi-year PhD. So I think that those are the two reasons why I think we've not been able to do that. And then on Program 5, some of the targets, there are two major targets that were not met. It's the reports that we process, the R&D tax incentives, as well as other reports on statistical information of the performance of the system. What tends to happen is that we approve them at the executive committee in the DSI and the ministry, and then we take them to the clusters, and then from there they go into cabinet. And sometimes, like last year, the DG cluster had an interest in these, and they wanted a consultation workshop with other government departments to understand so that they can fully support as this goes to cabinet. And that delayed because we had not budgeted that in the way that we have processed them before. And then on the tax incentive, we've really been having a bit of a problem in terms of capacity, because these are not processed by staff internally. They are processed by people that we contract as experts who understand what research and development is all about. And sometimes one or two person either not able to process their batch, then just delays the, maybe we need to build redundant capacity in terms of the number of people we have. But of course, the more you keep them on your salary, the more you have to pay them for not doing. So that's the challenge of managing the capacity on that. And then, Honorable Mwananiso, I think we will try to break down per area. What I think we have asked the acting TDG institutional support is to start looking at a presentation which we'll come and present to you, which shows the activities of the system of innovation at a provincial breakdown. I think we have agreed to do that. So maybe with the permission of the chair, we'll then be able to do that. But as we prepare the next annual report, perhaps, because that's where you see everything that we do, be more than happy to do that. But that's a request that I think you've made before, and we'll be more than happy to respond to that. I'm not so sure if the CFO would like to respond on the request for the further breakdown. I'll hand it over to her. And then on the finance breakdown, Chair, we sincerely apologize about this. I think our response to your request was to break it down per program as the CFO did, but I think we'd be more than happy to have, if you like, a reduced version of the annual financial statements, including assets and liabilities. There are two ways we can do that. We can either include it at our next second quarter report, if the chair would like, or we can submit it as a 2-3 page document, which you can submit to yourself within the next week or so. So with the chair's permission, then Nonhlanhla Mkhize and the CFO and the finances.
Next.
Okay. Good morning, honorable members. In terms of the question that has been asked, maybe let me give a bit of a background that the NDP calls for us to be innovative in how we deliver services. So this tool was introduced to allow particularly municipalities to understand where are the gaps and what are the capabilities that they need to strengthen for them to be able to deploy innovative technology solutions in support of service delivery. So when this tool was deployed initially, the first phase of the project, we were working with COCTA and SALCA in this regard, by the way. So we had a limited number of municipalities, so that now others are seeing the value in terms of how they can better understand themselves in terms of their own limitations and gaps. That's why when we say that more municipalities have raised their hands, they are saying we see the value, we would like to participate, we would like to be assessed, so that we are ready to for deployment of innovative technology solutions in support of service delivery. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for the inputs pertaining the SCM report. We have noted the inputs and we will enhance the report to other categories of the designated groups accordingly. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Yep. Thanks. I think what we get the points around the finances, and I think we'll have to take those into consideration, and be so that a proper report is submitted. Now, with regards to the National Research Fund relating to targets and all of that. I think over and above everything else, what is important is that we need to understand that we're meeting targets over and above or outside what is an actually bigger problem. You know, so we've set our targets based on the resource needs, but the targets are not based on what we broadly require in terms of the area of work. So yes, we're meeting the targets of the 3,500 funded masters, and I mean honors masters and PhD, but that's not what the demand out there is for, and especially because you know the research foundation, I mean the NRF is you know essentially the only fund that at a postgraduate level we depend on. Of course, there are other you know interventions that have been made in this regard. So I think we need to understand it within that context. That yes, we are meeting the targets that have been set, but that's not what the actual demand you know is there. I think as DG indicated, those discussions are taking place together, I mean, with the Minister and the NRF to ensure that we meet the targets. Um, Yeah, I thought I should just speak to that. The rest of the other questions, I think, have been properly responded to.
Okay. Okay, there's an issue here, but it's not really a major issue, which has been flagged by the Auditor General of a fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 526,000. It says it's due to a cancellation of an event. And I was looking at the statements, financial statements, and the notes to the financial statements, because I thought it was going to be disclosed there on the notes. There is no disclosure, but it's on page 208 of the annual report, number 25 of the notes to the financial statements. So it's not disclosed. In the overall, it's not much, given the performance of the department. But I had expected that maybe you'll also speak to that. But it's fine. I think we can get it when we get to be presented with the financials. As I've explained how they should be presented. So I'm not going to have a very serious issue with that. You don't have to explain now. I'm just raising it, but just to say that it's not really a big issue. Because when you look at the report of the Auditor General, like I was saying earlier, that the department and the entities reporting under the department are not doing bad, are doing good actually, because the department has been able to sustain the clean audit. I see over a 5-year period, there were 2 years where the department was not performing well, but generally, I think there are no issues in the department, DG. No issues as far as I'm concerned, and I think the members also. So it's that's why I'm just raising this thing, that to say, look, you can come back to us and explain this fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It's not a significant amount, but I'm sure there is an explanation. So as I raise my frustration about the presentation of the financial, it should not cloud the entire presentation of the department that you did not do well. I think we must acknowledge, give credit where it is due. And I think of particular importance, something that I've noted is the reduction in the regular expenditure. I think in the last financial year it was 54 million. It has reduced to about 12 million. The entire portfolio, the department and the entities. And I think that you are doing well, generally. That's why there's very few questions from the members. We did made a request the last time we had a briefing from the chief director, I think, on what was that briefing? The last briefing. The R&D. We said that we would like to have a follow-up discussion with the department. because it's quite a very important area, that one, of research, development, and innovation. We said we want to get an idea from yourself as to what will it take for us as a country to achieve the objectives of the 1.5% expenditure of the gross domestic product that will be going into research and innovation and development. The picture that we were getting was telling us that we are going there, moving into the right direction. but of course, we would like to get that comprehensive presentation. We will probably talk to some of the issues that members are raising here. Yeah, thank you very much, DM and DG. We're quite happy with the performance of the department. Nothing to raise alarm about anything here, except that the issues that I've raised about finances. It's about reporting, you know, compiling information to be tabled here. One of the things that I like doing as a member of parliament is to look at the finances very closely. So if I don't get the right information presented in the right format, I get so frustrated. But otherwise, thank you very much. We will break now. And after break for lunch, and after lunch, we're going to get a presentation of the SKA, the convention establishing the SKA. We don't anticipate that it will take time because we've already taken us through this one. So it's just to formally present the SKA and then take it from there. So we'll break for what time is it now? It's food here before we break. Is it here? Okay, it's 1 o'clock now. We can take a 45-minute break and be back at quarter to two.